Our reading tonight is Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament. I'm reading again from verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Listen to the word of God. Finally, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, notice he says there, when the day of evil comes, not if, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word. Let's turn again then to the word of God and the portion of scripture that we read together, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading between verses 10 and 20. They say that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And I couldn't really avoid speaking about it, but in the build-up to yesterday's World Cup qualifying match between Scotland and Latvia, the great, the wonderful, the eminent Craig Brown spent a lot of time with his players looking over videotapes of the opposition, watching their tactics and trying to work out their strategies, their strengths and their weaknesses. He wanted his players to be thoroughly prepared and equipped to take them on and to give them a 2-0 gubbing and to get to the finals of the World Cup. And just in case any of you missed it, they did. And I'm very happy. Tonight's passage does a similar job as well. It teaches Christians how to stand against their foes. It reveals the best way to approach taking our spiritual enemies on and to be victorious. And I want to break this passage down to really one main emphasis, an emphasis that recurred in just the space of four verses. If you read verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This emphasis on standing, on taking a stand, is repeated four times in the space of four verses. And we're being taught there that God insists that we take a stand. There is no place for lying down or being sloppy. God says we must stand. In verse 13, the word speaks of standing your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And then in verse 14, stand firm then. So you are commanded, no matter who you are, you are commanded by God in his inspired holy word to take a stand. And the first thing I want to highlight is the fact that this standing is going to be costly. Christians have been called to stand in battle. The Christian life involves warfare. And warfare is deadly. And it's exhausting. It drains us. And it's life or death. Reading Warren Wiersbe on this passage, he says, sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground, and that he faces an enemy who is much stronger than he is, apart from the Lord. If you are a Christian, you've been called to stand in battle. It's not something soft. It's not something easy. It's not something you can be lazy about. You're called to war, and that is very serious. Paul here is taking us to face reality. A lot of people think that the Christian life is about fluffy clouds and nice. You know, that everyone's just to be nice, and you say a few kind things, and that's Christianity. But the Apostle Paul's got a very different view, and the New Testament's got a very different view. And it teaches us that the reality of the Christian life is that we have to face the fierce heat of battle as a soldier in the army of God. If you're a Christian, you've received your call up to conflict. And the order of the day is stand. You're commanded by God to take a stand. No running away, no lying down, no cowering. You're called by God to stand. The thing is that trials and hardships are things we would prefer not to go through. Well, I certainly would prefer not to go through them. But trials and hardships are inevitable for soldiers, because soldiers are called to real life or death conflict with real enemies. And it's no different for the Christian life, the battle to which we've been called. Don't therefore be fooled into thinking that if you have taken your stand on the Lord's side, it's going to be a stroll in the park. It's not. It's going to be very hard. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. And then 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're not called to ease of life or to comfort. You're called to stand in fierce, and if I can use the word carefully, hellish battle. It really is dark, and it is demonic. We're called to cosmic warfare against what John Stott called cosmic intelligences. The Christian is a target for Satan and all those who with him seek to try and bring down the cause of Christ, and it's war. We've been called in this portion of scripture to, in verse 12, struggle. In the Authorized Version, it's wrestle. And this suggests to us that it's hand-to-hand combat. You really are getting that close. You're getting stuck in. You are spiritually sweating and getting tired and expending energy. You really are involved with a real face-to-face battle, hand-to-hand combat. And Stott says, the peace which God has made through Christ's cross is to be experienced only in the midst of a relentless struggle against evil. Now that's what you've been called to. Are you up for it? You've been called to a relentless struggle against evil. No holidays. No time off. It's ongoing. And those probably who have been on the Christian path, marching on to war longest, are the ones probably who know this best. First flush of conversion was like us. No problem, ya beauty. It's great. I'll never sin again. I'll never fall. The devil will never get me. Beauty. But once you've been on the road for a while, you realize that this is relentless warfare. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It involves hand-to-hand combat. So that's the first point. Christians have been called to stand and to stand in battle. But secondly, Christians have been called not to be taken by surprise. Some folks, when they are converted, when they are born again, after a while are taken by surprise by the ferocity and the tactical subtlety of the evil one. They thought they'd be invincible. They thought that nothing would ever bring them down. It just couldn't be possible. And then they find after a while that this enemy just goes on and on and on. But the plain truth is that the devil is very powerful indeed, and he's got a vast army of demonic foot soldiers, and he's very, very cunning. I was trying to think of a picture that would be able to help us somehow, but I could only think of the likes of myself or yourself standing in a ring facing 12 rounds times infinity against Mike Tyson, knowing that I'd really like to keep my ears intact and wanting to, and then getting a right pummeling after the first round, absolutely beaten senseless, only to hear the bell for round two and having to go out again. The evil one is full of hate and malice. You know that hatred that was in Tyson when he bit off Holyfield's ears, or tried to bite off chunks of his ears? Well, multiply that by infinity, and you have there the wickedness of the evil one and the intensity of his rage and his hatred for the Christ whom you serve. He's not going to wear kid gloves with you. He's going to let rip. And the thing is as well, he's fought many rounds before. He's a past master at his art. He has been fighting much, much longer than you or I, because he has been around much longer than you or I. He knows all the dirtiest tricks, the low punches, the thumb in the eye, everything. He knows them all, and he's used them all. And John Stott again, and I've relied quite heavily on Stott and Dr. Lloyd-Jones for this sermon. Their commentaries have been excellent. Stott speaks of the hideous malice of devilish plots. Hideous malice. And I really want you to understand that. You know, we're comfortable in here just now, and we come here once a month in the evening, and we come here in the mornings on the Sabbath, and then we go up the road to Christ as well on the Sabbath morning as well. And it's all very comfortable, but the fact and the reality is that there is, in our 24-hour-a-day living that Pete was speaking about earlier on, there is a call for us to be alert to the wiles of the evil one. We're not to be taken by surprise at all. We are involved in a conflict. This really is war. So we're not to be surprised when missiles are fired at us, and sometimes when they make direct hits. For example, I'm thinking back to last weekend and that massive Polish heavyweight boxer that entered into the ring with Lennox Lewis. Now, the Polish boxer was huge. Lennox Lewis is just ginormous. Massive, massive, strong fighting machine. But do you think for one minute that when this Polish guy came out at the first bell, that he was surprised and took a huff when Lennox Lewis actually tried to hit him? He tried to hit me. It's a world heavyweight title fight for the boxing WBC championship or whatever. He actually tried to hit me. No, he wasn't surprised at all, because he was going in there to do battle. We're involved in battle as well. Do you imagine for one minute that Mossad, I think they're called, the Israeli intelligence agency, are surprised when Hamas or Hezbollah sometimes do naughty things against them? They're not really surprised at all. They know they're involved in war. And you and I, if we are on the Lord's side, are involved in a desperate battle against the forces of evil in this world.
We are involved in all-out war.
And we aren't to be surprised by the devil's devices. They know they're involved in war. Hamas and Mossad, Lennox Lewis and that big Polish boxer whose name I can't remember. And we likewise are to know that we're involved in war as well. The Word of God says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Don't be surprised. Be prepared. Know that you're involved in warfare. Know that that's going to mean it's going to be very, very hard. There's going to be trials and difficulties, and missiles are going to be launched against you. You needn't fail or falter. You're to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Concentrate on standing. Concentrate on standing in the battle. A man called Keener, Craig S. Keener, in his book on the background of the New Testament says, and we're thinking just now possibly of where Paul was thinking and how he was thinking as he wrote this letter about a Roman soldier. In the day of battle, says Keener, Roman soldiers were to stand their ground, not to retreat. As long as they stood together in a flat, open field and did not break ranks, their legions were considered virtually invincible. How many films have you seen when there's been a long row of people going away from the enemy, and as they break up and as they separate from one another, the enemy one by one picks off the stragglers, one by one comes to get them? We're not to be surprised by the evil one. We're to stand our ground. And we are in the third place to stand and not to slouch. Now it seems to me that the church in Scotland is very much slouching, if not sleeping, altogether in our nation today. I think that's a fair assessment, because there are so many folks who really are not aware of the fact that they're involved in spiritual warfare and in a battle with an enemy who is vile and whose wiles are foul. We are to be clear about who and what we are. Now, we have to get it right. We have to understand who and what we are by grace. Psalm 97 verse 10 says, let those who love the Lord hate evil. Now you're to be very clear of that, and I'm to be very clear about that as well. We are to hate evil in every form if we claim to love the Lord. We're not to be soft and squidgy. We're to hate evil. Absolutely detest it, because it's an affront to God, who gave his son to die for us. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. We're not to copy the ways of the world system around us that opposes God and tries to humiliate him at every turn. We're not to be like them at all. We're not to imitate them. We're to imitate Christ. It says in James 4 verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And Mark 12 verse 30, this is how much we're to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. We are to stand hating evil, not slouching and cavorting with evil, and caressing it and enjoying it and having it as our little pet that we fondle. We are to stand and not to slouch. We're to brace ourselves. We're to take our position and make a stand in the battle. And if tempted to slouch spiritually, we're to say no. Just say no, as the slogan says. Titus 2, 11 to 13. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and were to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Now, you have to know who you are. You have to stand clearly, hating evil, loving what's good, promoting what's good, and pointing to the one who alone is good. Don't slouch. Be clear about who you are and what you are by grace. Against whom, then, in the fourth place, do we stand? There's a lot of people who oppose the gospel. There's a lot of people who attack it and who revile it. Are we to hate them? Well, clearly not. We don't focus our hatred of evil on human beings, on individuals. But we focus our hatred on the evil one, on the devil, on the one who is prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. And you must remember, and I must remember, that those people who are opposing the gospel, who are standing against it, they're dupes, they've been duped, they've been fooled, and the devil is going to drag them down to hell, a lost eternity, forever. We've got to pity them and strive with all our might to love these people so that they see the difference and that they're plucked as brands from the fire, that they're taken away from the burning of hell, and that they are taken to the safety of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to hate them. We are to oppose that which is evil. But we are to oppose the leader of that evil and his demonic forces, those ones who are dragging the others down to hell, the human beings, our fellow men and women, boys and girls. There was some advice given to the king of Syria, or Aram. Well, it was actually the king of Aram who gave it to his soldiers, should I say. And we can apply this to our own battle just now. When we start to lose our focus, quite often, even in our own fellowship, somebody can be really, really awkward and difficult. And we might start focusing on that individual and thinking, oh, if only they weren't there, what a difference. How much more jolly this would be, or how much happier, or how much freer we could be, if only. But that's not the way we're to look at it at all. 1 Kings 22, verse 31, the advice is, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king. We're to do battle spiritually, in prayer, against the king of evil, the prince of this present age, the one who is the ruler of the darkness, the one who is behind the principalities and powers. We mustn't underestimate the power of the devil at all. He was exposed last week when Martin preached in the evening. We mustn't underestimate him, though. We must, although we are to do war with him, we can't go in there nonchalantly and just flippantly think that we're going to bind him. Yes, I'm going to bind the devil. I'm going to bring him down. He is so, so powerful. And our passage here speaks of rulers and authorities and powers. These are spiritual enemies that we have. And they're numerous. They're very, very numerous. And they're very, very vigorous as well. A great army. You are one person. Think of it. You wouldn't really go and take on 12 human beings by yourself without any help, would you? If they were the same strength as you, well, so much less would you be sane to go and take on all the forces of darkness, that one third of angels that fell, and the devil. No, you need to be very careful. The devil's not compared to a roaring lion in Scripture for nothing. He's very, very powerful. We can only approach him to do battle with him in the strength of the Lord, in his power, fully equipped by his armor. Satan's very crafty as well. The Authorized Version spoke of the wiles of the devil. That's his schemes, his crafty arts, his strategies. He is really cunning, and he's always looking for an unguarded area in your spiritual armor. You know, you can be doing many, many things. You could be, for example, watching tremendous videos, Christian videos. You could be going and listening to great Christian bands. You could be reading Christian books. You might even be reading the Bible, but not praying. And you know, you're weak there. You have to pray. You have to take on the full armor, everything, the whole lot, because he is going to go for the one area where you're not covered. So you have to be completely covered. He's really cunning. He is so crafty. And our danger is more so because our enemy is unseen. Spiritual realities, principalities and powers, that we don't see. It would be so easy if he was the wee bloke in the tight pants, the red pants with the red top and the wee fur, wee horns and the tail. That would be absolutely fantastic. Oh, there's the devil. Right, I'm off. We could see him. But it's not like that at all. Spiritual, demonic forces. We don't see him, so we have to be really careful. But we are to stand and face him in the power of the Lord. James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In the fifth place, we stand against the devil and his demons. That was the last one, the fourth one. And now, one thing that we're also taught in Scripture is that we're always to be sober. We're to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And this speaks about mental and spiritual drunkenness. You know, there are people who are very careless in this battle. People who are not feeding their mind with the Word of God. They're involved in a battle. It's like Craig Brown's video, seeing the strategies, seeing the tactics of the opposition team. But there are a lot of people who are very careless in their reading of the Bible. And they don't really know what the devil's tactics are going to be if they're not being shown what these tactics are and constantly being reminded, because this is a very big book. There's a lot of teaching here. And we have to be sure as well that we don't get mentally or spiritually drunk and sloppy and forget to be sharpening our minds and focusing on the truth. We have a lifestyle guide, the Bible, and we also have this calling to nourish our souls by coming to God in prayer and speaking oft with the Lord, as the old hymn says. We ought to be speaking oft with the Lord, seeking his will and listening to his Spirit as his Spirit convicts us of where we're sinning and going wrong, where we're erring, where we're falling, where we're starting to slouch and to fall down. We need these things. It's an absolute must. We can't be careless as to the orders from high command. We've got to listen to our commander-in-chief. That's a capital C. We have to be self-controlled in our reading of the Bible and in our prayer life. There's a proverb, Proverbs 25, verse 28, that shows how dangerous it is not to have this self-control in our lives. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. We have to be self-controlled in our devotion to God. Sometimes we feel tired, and sometimes we think we don't have much time, but we must be self-controlled because we need to be pulling on this spiritual armor because we're involved in war. Can you imagine, for example, the soldiers who were in Northern Ireland recently deciding they just didn't want to wear their bulletproof vest? Oh, I'll just leave that down, and the helmet. I don't really, in fact, I'm going to leave the gun as well because I'm feeling a wee bit rough today, and I'm not in the mood for wearing it. Well, it just wouldn't happen. We've got to pull on the armour, and that is our devotion to God, our understanding of what he's saying to us, and our seeking his will as we pray, and our bringing prayers before him as well. We have to control ourselves. I remember reading in David Searle's book on this passage as well, that he was speaking about a time when he was on guard duty, I think in Yorkshire, and the IRA were on the move at the time, and he was concerned about his own situation, and he thought once or twice as he walked 10 paces that way and 10 paces this way that this was really leaving him as a bit of a sitting target for the enemy. So he went and said to his superior the next morning that next time around he was going to lie down and wait for them. But he said, the man said to him in reply, don't do that. Through experience in the past, we've seen that those who lie down and who aren't vigilant fall asleep, and then the place is wide open to the enemy. We've got to be very sure of how we're standing. We've got to be sober. How do we manage to make our stand then in the sixth place? Well, wearing the panoply of heavenly armour. This word panoply we sang of earlier on in Soldiers of Christ Arise, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. And that speaks of a complete outfit of personal armour. A complete outfit, not just one part, but the whole lot. And the only way we can really stand and stand alert and sober-minded and clearly is when we have all the armour on. A Roman soldier in the days of Paul had a complete battle gear which comprised of a shield, a breastplate, and something called greaves, I think. That's armour for legs below the knee. And there was a helmet, sword, and two javelins. And he was expected to take them all because he would be expected to use them all when he was involved in conflict, or at least have them there available. And we have arms available as well, and we must use them. The Holy Scriptures, prayer, praise, fellowship of other Christians. All these resources we have, and we must use them. Can you imagine an Israeli soldier at his post in occupied territory, and he's watching, and he sees two Hezbollah suicide bombers making their way, fully loaded, in their vehicle. The thing is bulging with all sorts of explosives, and he sees them making their way not only towards himself, but to a busload of children, Jewish children, that are nearby. And that soldier has got a gun to hand, an automatic rifle. Do you think for 1 minute he's going to say, "No, I'm not bothered with a gun. I'll just go down and speak to them for a wee minute. I'll talk sense to them. I'll just reason with them. And then that'll be it, and they'll go back and everything will be fine." He wouldn't at all. He would use the gun. The gun's available, and it would need to be used. And likewise for ourselves, the heavenly armour is all there. It's going to be spoken about soon in one of our evening services, God willing, and we'll learn more about it. But we have heavenly armour, and we must take it all up and have ourselves covered. And finally, the seventh and final point. We stand, lastly there in six, wearing the full heavenly armour, but we remember in the seventh and final point with whom we stand. Verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord." It's the Lord who is with you. It's his battle, and he is the creator of the universe. He is the mighty God who, by the speaking of his word, brought this universe into being. And that verse, "Be strong in the Lord," could equally be rendered, "Strengthen yourselves in the Lord," or "Find your strength in the Lord," as it says in the NEB. We must find our strength in him and in him alone. He gives us the resources, they're available, and he has a vast arsenal there stored up for us. And it's in him that we find our strength. He indeed will be our fortress. It's said by Lloyd-Jones that the Imperial French Army always knew when Napoleon was present with them. And when he was present, there was a great uplift in morale. And likewise for ourselves, we shouldn't forget, we're not in the battle alone. The battle is the Lord's, and he's in it with us. And he is offering all the resources of heaven for us to fight in that battle. As was quoted earlier on, "If God be with us, who can be against us?" Romans 8:31. The battle is the Lord's, and he is calling us to an absolute certain victory, because the victory has already been won. And all we can look forward to now is to hear in that great day when we stand before the Lord, after we have finally laid down our arms and gone to glory, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." It's then that we fully know complete and unadulterated happiness and liberty and freedom from all this warfare. But then and only then. So until that time, we have to, as it says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in our faith, be courageous, be strong. You've seen, as it were, now the video shown of the devil's wiles, his tactics. You know what you're to do. Now it just remains for you to go out there and win your way to the finals, to glory. Let us pray.